Lord is always mine.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Jordan River runs right cold, chills the body, not the soul. There ain't but one train on this track, runs to heaven and right back.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Big thanks to our chancel choir. We've already had church. Also, a thanks to all of you who so graciously and faithfully assist in our worship. A lot of people are involved in our being able to worship the Lord our God and to affirm our faith and to engage fellowship one with another. I want to thank Brother Isaiah for his assistance this morning. And Brother Isaiah, if you would, guard that South Georgia accent. Treasure it. Don't let anyone corrupt it. Thanks to all of you for your being here this morning. The reading of Scripture is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. As you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. May we now hear the word of God. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. They were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We're cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Our Father and our God, in these moments of our worship through proclamation, grant now that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and honoring to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In our beloved America, in this sweet, sweet land of liberty, there are millions upon millions of people who are struggling daily with all kinds of bondage. This epidemic of postmodern tyranny includes various addictions, emotional and mental problems, financial burdens, marital stress and strain, the breakdown of home and family and interpersonal relationships, and a whole large host of others. I wonder this morning in our worship, from what chains of slavery does your soul and my soul cry out for deliverance? According to our scripture lesson, in his vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, the prophet Ezekiel proclaims a timeless word of hope and courage to God's children, and especially those of us who seek and desire renewal, restoration, and deliverance. Yea, in a chaotic and turbulent world such as ours, more and more people are asking, can these bones live? That utterance from the lips of Ezekiel is indeed a timeless inquiry, perhaps even in these moments of corporate worship. In the inner solitude of our hearts and our minds, we too are asking, can these bones of mine live? To be able to answer this probing and puzzling question, I suggest that first we recall the prophet's arresting vision. As a nation, in the year 587 BC, Judah was dead. The city of Jerusalem with its holy temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Those who had survived that tremendous battle had been pulled from their homeland, and they had been quickly taken into captivity. As captives in Babylon, they were now paralyzed by hopelessness and helplessness. They were immobilized by feelings of despair and depression as they found themselves in an alien and pagan land. Thus far away from Judah and homeland and exiled in this pagan country, Ezekiel was suddenly arrested by a most extraordinary vision. It seemed to the prophet as if he had been seized by the very hand of God. Mystically, he had been taken up into the air high above the earth, and yet a split moment later, the prophet had been placed in a valley on a large plain back in Judah. At an earlier time, this valley had been the scene of a horrible battle. Tens of thousands had been slain on this huge battlefield. No one had been left alive to bury the dead. In those long, excruciating hours of battle, there had been the cries of the wounded, the savage sounds of war, and the conquering shouts of the Babylonian victors. But now, that battlefield is deathly silent. There's an eerie calmness that permeates that plain. The war is over. The storm has passed. But that plain is now covered with human wrecks. Those thousands of bodies left unburied had decayed. The birds of the air had summered, and the wild beasts of the fields had wintered. The rains had bleached and washed their bones clean. There was nothing now to be seen but grim and lifeless skeletons. Beloved, this ghastly scene of death, this spectacle of dry bones, may well be an apt commentary on our time in this 21st century. These words of Holy Writ may speak profoundly to our time, our nation, and our world, both morally and spiritually. By the precepts and principles of God's holy word, I ask, do we live and behave as born-again Christians? Are we, in fact, a Christian nation? It should be disturbing to most of us that no longer is our beloved America listed in the registration of the United Nations as a Christian nation. What difference does the phrase "one nation under God" make upon our daily lives? What does it mean to have inscribed on our coins and on our currency, "In God we trust," if these inspired words are not confirmed and evidenced daily in our lives? Yea, with the disintegration of our nation's moral fabric and the deterioration of our spiritual fiber, I ask, are we witnessing the death, demise, and decay of our beautiful land of liberty? With all the crime, corruption, and compromise of our Western culture, with all the unabashed greed and self-indulgence, are we gasping, even convulsing, on our deathbed? In this battle of our lives, being waged by none other than Satan, in this battle for our souls, is there any genuine hope for recovery and deliverance? There is a word of hope. It does not come from within us. It does not emanate from our government, our military, our educational system. The only hope for us individually, corporately, and nationally is a hope from above. It is that hope that Ezekiel proclaimed to a valley covered with dry and dead bones. Today, and especially to the church, we must hear and heed that divine word, a word of hope and comfort and courage delivered to the church, but then communicated by the church to our communities and indeed to our culture. As Ezekiel viewed those bleached, bony skeletons, he heard a voice from above, the voice of Yahweh, Son of Man. Can these bones live? What a strange, perplexing, and puzzling question. Had God asked this question to the world would have laughed itself to death. Their immediate answer would have been an absolute, unequivocal no. But when this question was raised to Ezekiel the prophet, because he walked by faith and not by sight, because he was conditioned by faith, Ezekiel answers immediately, "O Lord God, you know." As Ezekiel had learned, we too need to know that some situations and some circumstances in our earthly journey are best left to God's power and providence, not to human resources, not to human reason or rationality. Next, Ezekiel is commanded to proclaim the word of God to those inanimate bones. O dry bones, hear now the word of God. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. I will cause flesh to cover you. I will bring skin to cover that flesh. I will breathe my breath into you, and you will live. And you will stand up, and you will know that I am the Lord. As Ezekiel prophesied, there was suddenly this noise, a rattling, as the skeletal units began to come together. Suddenly on that plain, thousands upon thousands of lifeless corpses lay everywhere. They were cold and still, without motion. These were the thousands of the unburied dead. Again, God said to Ezekiel, prophesy now unto the breath, the wind, the spirit, that holy Ruah. Prophesy unto the breath. Come now from the four winds, O Ruah, and breathe into these that are slain, that they may live. The very breath of God came and entered those lifeless bodies, and they began to move and to stand up on their feet. Within just a matter of moments, that whole battlefield was now filled with a tremendous army. As you witness the very breath of God entering those lifeless corpses, you see the miracle of new life. It's interesting. It has parallels to our scripture this morning. The story of creation tells us of God, the Creator, fashioning with His hands from the clay of the earth that which would be the body of the first human. God had taken great time and effort to fashion, to form that first being. But after God had fashioned and formed that clay from the earth of the ground, it still was without life. And then we're told God breathed into the nostrils of that lifeless clay form the breath of life, the very breath of God. And instantly, that lifeless clay form began to live. We're told he became a living soul. Because of God's breath, that lifeless clay was brought to life. Vitality was present. Now, several thousand years later in the future, in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, those early disciples, in fear for their lives, had locked themselves behind doors. They had pulled down the window shades. They were intimidated. They were afraid that what had happened to Jesus would happen to them. But Jesus had told them some 10 days earlier at his ascension, go back into Jerusalem, gather in the upper room and pray that the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you with power. They had been obedient. And on that 10th day following the ascension, on the day of Pentecost, God released afresh from heaven that divine Ruah, the breath of God. It flowed into that room. It took its residence in every person's life and soul. No longer now empowered and indwelt by the breath of God, were they afraid? Were they intimidated? Were they in hiding? Courageously, lovingly, they threw the doors open, they pushed the windows up, and they went out into the streets of Jerusalem and there began to proclaim that gospel of our Lord Jesus. And beloved, the Holy Spirit that filled that room, bringing life and vitality to the church, is the same very presence and breath and wind of God that now indwells and empowers and sustains us. At your conversion, when you were born again through faith and repentance, that very Ruah of God became your permanent companion. The very Spirit of God that was in Jesus of Nazareth now is our daily companion, indwelling us, equipping us to live abundantly and authentically as the children of God. What a breathtaking thought that the Spirit of God that indwelled and empowered Jesus now empowers us. Little wonder that we're called in the New Testament, we are the body of Christ. What God the Father began to do in Jesus the Son through the Holy Spirit, He now does in each of our lives, day by day by day. In much the same manner as God spoke to Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit now speaks to us, the Christian church. To many of us in our lethargy of dead and dry bones, God says, breathe in my Holy Spirit. Take in my holy breath. And you will live, and you will stand up upon your feet. Oh, that by the breath and power of God's Spirit, we the church would stand up, not just on Sunday morning in church, but every day through the week, regardless of where or with whomever we are. Oh, that as Christians, we would be indwelled, empowered, and controlled by God's Spirit, that we would never adjust, adapt, or accommodate the gospel of our Savior to a secular, immoral world. That we would resolve by our very breath that we would never sell our spiritual birthright for a bowl of social congeniality, nor for a plate full of political correctness. That every day, from here until we make our way home, by the grace of God, we would strive to be light and salt to a world dark and in dire need. Once we breathe in that breath of God, once we are Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, we can embrace and celebrate that recovery and indeed a new direction for our lives. Those dead and dried bones in the valley symbolized to Ezekiel the house of Israel, which was now broken, conquered, and in disarray. Yea, Judah's hopes had been shattered by defeat and through their exile to a pagan land. Their captivity in a pagan land was their burial site. It was their national tomb. All of Judah's hopes and dreams for the future were now sadly entombed in some distant alien land. But then, through the grace of God, through the intervention of His Spirit, that Ruah, they would know recovery and renewal and restoration. They would be freed from that graveyard of their exile. They would be returned and restored to their beloved homeland. Beloved, whether then or now, only God Himself can effect the miracle of new birth. Only God can perform the miracle of recreation, restoration, and recovery. Only the Creator, Redeemer God can breathe new life and hope into a lifeless form. Only God can perform the miraculous. It is only as the Holy Spirit moves into and indwells our lives that we are enabled to live abundantly and authentically as sons and daughters of God. Sadly, this morning, many find themselves at a place, at a point, where God's power and presence are so urgently needed. A majority of our fellow strugglers, including us at times, carry in our bosom not a heart but a stone. Sadly, so many of us struggle day by day with those burdens of guilt and regrets rather than living with grace and peace for the glory of God and for the salvation of our world. And so this morning, God Himself raises the question, not to a pagan population, not to a secular society beyond these walls, but to us, the church. Mortal, He asks, can these bones of yours live? And we answer, yes, Lord. You know. And it's your desire to bring vitality and life and renewal to these bodies and to these bones, to our beings. And so the Lord says to us, the church, prophesy to those bones and say, O dry bones, hear now the word of God. Behold, I will cause my breath to enter into you, and you shall live eternally, not just here and now. And you shall live forever. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I will open your graves, and I will raise you up from your graves, and I will bring you home. The most urgent desire across all humanity, transcending tongue and tribe and skin color nationality, is the desire, the innate desire to be home, to be home, to be home. Several times through the years of my ministry, in a hospice room, in an intensive care cubicle, or in a hospital, that person, my friend, that parishioner, that patient will say, normally, unconsciously, I want to go home. I want to be home. Beloved, we are going home. Most of us are a lot closer to home now than we used to be. And God walks with us daily, step by step, toward our home, as we allow His Ruah, His breath, His Spirit, to indwell, to inhabit, to empower, to equip us to live, not merely to exist. Oh, that breath of God, breathe afresh on me. Oh, that divine breath of God, breathe afresh on us. enabling us to communicate not just with words but with our lives the good news that dead bones can be brought to life and that they can enjoy life and engage life with purpose and destination. To God be the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is number 420. Breathe on me, breath of God. Shall we stand as we sing all four stanzas?